All right, well, welcome to our first Sunday in our new gathering. I know Tyler already said that, but let's praise the Lord for that. My name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here at Redeemer, and just want to welcome you to our first Sunday here. We would ask that you be gracious with us as we're figuring out the logistics. We found some new incentives to get you here on time. One of those is parking. So if you want a parking spot, don't want to have to walk, got to show up on time. So if you did have to walk, I apologize. But anyways, want to make a little joke there. I am one of the, just thought of that. Those people are walking and probably not super excited. No. I'm, as I said, one of the pastors here. I am regretful or actually excited to inform you that I'm resigning from my position as general contractor over this building today and just resuming my duties as pastor. So I'm excited to do that and be here with you. For a long time in the life of our church, it felt like this day, gathering in our own space, was just a pipe dream. I really did. About a year ago, we began to pray and ask the Lord that if He would give us a space. And we knew in our city, if you know Round Rock, there's not a lot of church buildings existing. It's super expensive to build a facility. And even to find a space that you can just rent or lease is very difficult. Every space that we have had here at Redeemer that we have gathered in has been, Lord, we don't know what we're going to do, but God has provided at the last minute a space for us to meet. From Grace Lutheran Church, where we began meeting, to the Baca Center, where we met on Sunday afternoons. Anybody miss Sunday afternoons? No. To CD Folks, where we got to spend the last 2 years. And each one of those felt like, man, this is, wow, the Lord provided in just the right season. And so about this time last year, we began to pray. CD Folks had actually told us that they were going to do some construction, so we had to be out of there in about 6 months. And so we started to pray, and God really opened our heart, began to give us a vision and put things on our heart that a facility, a space to meet in could really help those things. And for those of you that were with us, you know that last fall, we had a property that we were looking at that was within what we could do. We got our finances together. Really looked like everything was moving forward to this deal happening, and at the last minute, it fell through. This was back in last October. And so the Lord had kind of stirred our heart for what we could do with the space and given us a vision for that and even the need for that to sustain long-term ministry here in our city, and yet door kind of slammed shut. I remember walking back from that meeting where we realized we couldn't go forward with the deal with Jordan and just being like, I don't know where we go from here. We trusted that the Lord would provide for us, but man, we you know how rare these spaces are, and this has fell through. We're probably going to have to just move to another mobile space. And we could do that and survive, but it wasn't a great prospect at the time. And so we grieved a bit. We sulked a bit. I sulked a bit. I don't know if you guys did. But thankfully, we did some of God's grace in that moment. CD Folks said, well, you don't have to be out by May. You've got a little bit longer time. And so we were able to then remain at CD Folks. And about 3 months after that, I got a call from another pastor letting us know that this space was available. I won't go into the whole story, but we were able to secure financing, to secure the right steps needed. We affirmed that this is a place we could make our home and move forward with it. And over the last 6 months, we've been journeying towards today. Many of you have poured in blood, sweat, and tears to make this happen. And so I want to honor you. We're going to honor you next week. But this is a special day. Not just because we have a building. We want to say that too. The church is not a building. So we want to make sure that stays out of our vocabulary. The church is the people of God called together by the gospel of Jesus, sent into the city to be a light to our neighbors and coworkers. But a building and a facility has potential to aid and help the mission that God has given us. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful that the Lord has provided. And it's amazing to see in His sovereignty how He has brought this together. I don't want us to miss that moment today. If you're new with us, you might not appreciate everything that has happened over the last 5.5 years, but that God would sovereignly bring this day together where He gives us a place in our city. We don't deserve it. This space is not here to make us church more comfortable or more easy. In fact, what I want to cast vision for and share with you today is that I believe God has given us this space as a stewardship of His grace in our city, as a means of grace that we can be a further blessing, a more long-standing, sustainable blessing to our city. Back in June, we began to work our way through the Beatitudes. That's the sermon series we're in right now. We're not going to go fully there today. But we began with kind of following Jesus up the mountain, if you will, to sit and learn from Him His vision for the good life, for the flourishing life. We saw that the Beatitudes are not a set of, if you will do this, then God will bless you with this, but they were a picture of what the flourishing life looks like. Not the necessarily the American dream or the images we often hold up of what the good life is, but Jesus unpacks for us in the Sermon on the Mount the Beatitudes, specifically His vision, God's vision for the good life. We saw in Matthew, in fact, I want to read it together, Matthew 1 through 11. We saw this. Seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, and for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And here we have been journeying through the Sermon on the Mount, seeing these Beatitudes as a picture for what God desires His people to be. The way that Jesus calls us to be and live in the world. This way of life, following Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, it leads us to live and be in the world in a new way. It redefines for us what the good life is, what is beautiful, what is holy, what is good. And so I want to remind us this morning, as we kind of continue on in the Sermon on the Mount, why God has brought us here to transform us, to change us into the type of people that Jesus desires, that live out this new way. And Jesus goes on in Matthew to say this in verses 13 through 16. Look at what He says. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You see, Jesus calls us to a new way of life, a life lived in loving union with Him, a life that has its vision, its end goal set forth in the Beatitudes, where poverty of spirit, meekness, grieving, peacemaking, all that Jesus lays out is our way. And this way, as we live it out as the people of God, is not to be done in the comfort or hiding from our city, but in the midst of the darkness, that we would be a people holding out light and hope. And I believe this is why God has brought us here in this space, so that for the next 30, 40, Lord willing, 100, however many years He gives us and our children and our children's children, to be a signpost and a witness to the light. That amongst the darkness and the chaos and the hurt and the pain and the sin of our city and our own brokenness, that we would be a people of light. That this building, not the building, but as we inhabit it as the people, would represent a place where we come together to encounter the healing presence of Jesus week after week. And if you've followed the news, if you have lived any life, you know that we are in great need of hope and healing. Just yesterday, I watched the news about what's going on in Virginia, in Charlottesville, where white nationalists and alt-right KKK racism that should be denounced is rearing its ugly face, reminding us that if we are to be a people of light, we cannot be silent. We must call darkness for what it is. And what is happening there is just another reminder of the evil, demonic stronghold of racism that has plagued our country for ages. And as a church, if we are going to be people of light, gospel people, the fullness of the gospel proclaimed in our lives, we must stand up with our black brothers and sisters and say, we're with you. We don't always know what to do. Sometimes we put our foot in our mouth. Sometimes we make the problem worse, but we're with you. To our black brothers and sisters here today, we want to say, we're with you. That what is going on in our country is evil, that the alt-right is evil, that white supremacy and nationalism is evil. It is anti-gospel and anti-Christ. And God has placed us here to be a people of light, to stand up and shine that light wherever there is darkness. And so we grieve that that still exists, but we aren't going to ignore it. And we want to grow. One of the ways we want to grow as a church is to say we need to be with our brothers and sisters, not only our black brothers and sisters, but any minority group that is oppressed, and say we're not going to be silent. We acknowledge the problem. What do we do? How do we help? I believe one of the ways God has called us to steward our resources here is to begin asking some of those questions, to pray that our church becomes a place where diverse people from all ethnicities and cultures can come together in the presence of Jesus. It also, to be a people of light, means that we want this place to be not yet another place of distraction, not another place of busyness. But I don't know if you've noticed this, there's not many kind of sacred, quiet, worshipful places in our city. Our city is great, but it's full of commerce and busyness and going and doing and sports and all these things. We want this to be a place where we put distractions away and we learn to be present to the presence of God. We learn to be attentive to God, quiet before Him, worshipful to Him, so that we can be present and attentive to our families and those in our neighborhoods. We want it to be a place of connecting with God in a world of distraction. We want it to be a place where we can continue to ask the question, how do we help orphans? How do we step into the orphan crisis in our city? So many kiddos that need homes and families and the love of the gospel. How can we use our space for that? And there's so many other ways that we want to dream of and think of as a family and say, God, don't let us have this building to be more comfortable, but let it be a base for mission to happen in our city. More churches planted, more ministries to the marginalized and the hurting started. And week after week, where we come together as the imperfect people of God and encounter His Holy Spirit, that enables us to once again go out into our neighborhoods, go out into the everyday things of life as the people of light. I believe God has given us, by His grace, this space because He wants us to have a sustaining presence, to shine a light of these things into our city, along with the other amazing churches that we get to lock arms with in our city. God has brought this church family here for a reason. He's given us a gift to steward. Our unique calling, your unique gifts that he's bringing together for the flourishing of our city and the glory of God. We want this to be a place of hope and healing, where we come together each week and we show and we share the gospel of grace. And as we go out into our missional communities, as we spread into our neighborhoods, we show and we share the gospel of grace. And we point people to the light. We act as a salt in a decaying culture, preserving the culture of grace, the culture of the gospel, which says all are welcome, all are created equal, all come to Jesus and freely receive what we need. And so I want to just invite us this morning. We're not going to fully launch in. This was supposed to be a mini sermon. I might have already gone over my time. Mini sermon, you know. You can't tell a preacher to preach a mini sermon. But I want to invite you this morning. I want to give you a moment to pray. And I want you just to pray whatever the Spirit has put on your heart. Pray that we would, what I just said in summary, that we would live that out, that God would empower us by his Spirit to be that church, to play our role in this city, and to not see this building as the church, but as a launching pad for the church, the people of God, to do ministry in our city. So I just want to give you a minute to pray. I want to invite you to consider, how is God leading you to participate in that? And then I'll close us in prayer. Jesus, we give you praise that you have provided for us. That as you say in Matthew's gospel, that you give good gifts to your children. And so we receive this gift with open arms, with humility that knows we did not earn this, but with great responsibility that says we want to steward this. We want to steward this for the glory of God. So, Lord, would you help us as we begin today, as we have this first time of gathering here today, would you just energize us with your Spirit? Would you help us not to step out in our own strength, but to step out in your power? Would you visit those this morning who are even here, who are hurting, who maybe are running from you, that this place would be where much repentance, much turning from ourself and turning back to you would take place. In your kindness, would you lead us to repentance? Lord, where we have failed to be a people of light, where we've been silent about injustice, where we have been negligent about those on the margins, where we have been distracted, would you help us learn to be present to you, to your Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us and in us together as your people? We dedicate this place to you. We hold it up to you, Lord, and we say it's yours. Do with us in this place what you would want to do. It's in Jesus' holy and mighty name we pray. Amen.